Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Alright, thank you for joining Srimad Bhagavatam class. Reading from the 9th canto, 9th chapter, text 49. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yatat Brahma Param Sukshmam Asunyam Sunyakalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yam grinanti hi sattvatah Yatad brahma param shukshmam Ashunyam shunyakalpitam Bhagavan vasudeveti Yam grinanti hi sattvatah Yatat Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunyakalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yam Grinanti Hi Sattvataha. Please chant. Yatat Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunyakalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yam Grinanti Hi Sattvataha Yatat Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunyakalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Ginanti Satvatah Yatat Brahma Param Sukshmam Ashunyam Shunyakalpitam Bhagavan Vasudeveti Yam Grinanti Hi Sattvataha. It tat brahma param shukmam ashunyam shunyakalpitam bhagavan vasudeveti yam gridanti hi sattataha yat that which tat such brahma param parabrahman the supreme personality of godhead krishna shukshmam spiritual beyond all material conceptions ashunyam not impersonal or void shunya kalpitam imagined to be void by less intelligent men Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudev, Krishna. Iti, thus, yam, whom, grinanti, sing about. He, indeed, sattvataha, pure devotees. Translation and purport. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev Krishna, is extremely difficult to understand for unintelligent men who accept him as impersonal or void, which he is not. The Lord is therefore understood and sung about by pure devotees. Purport. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11, Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmetmi paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. The absolute truth is realized in three phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the origin of everything. Brahman is a partial representation of Bhagavan and Vasudeva, the super soul living everywhere. And in everyone's heart, is also an advanced realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But when one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Sarvam Iti, when one realizes that Vasudeva is both Paramatma and the impersonal Brahman, he is then in perfect knowledge. Krishna is therefore described by Arjuna as Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. The words Param Brahma refer to the shelter of the impersonal Brahman and also of the all-pervading super soul. When Krishna says Tyaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mam Eti Sorjuna, this means that the perfect devotee, after perfect realization, returns home back to Godhead. Maharaj Katvanga accepted the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and because of his full surrender, he achieved perfection. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 9th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Ansuman. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Rum Paraswami Niti Namine. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Please pray for me that I can say something of value, especially Charanishtha Prabhu, Nivina Krishna Prabhu. Please give me your blessings so I can do something. This is a really nice verse, actually. Describing directly Bhagavan realization of the Supreme. In the purport, Prabhupada gives the verse about Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan, Iti Shabdite, the three aspects of the Absolute Truth, which I'm sure you all have heard. But it's nice to keep hearing it, to get more and more realization of it. So it's described that the three aspects of the Absolute Truth. First one is the all-pervading, impersonal energy as Brahman. And then it's Paramatma, which is described in the purport, the super soul living everywhere and in everyone's heart. And it's described in the purport that realizing this is also an advanced realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then, even more than just realizing that there's a super soul of all existence, is realizing that the super soul has a personality. And that's Bhagavan, Vasudev, Krishna. So this personality of Godhead, I was meditating on that word, personality. So sometimes when we hear the same word over and over again, it becomes like common language. But sometimes when I really meditate on a word, that even though I say it all the time, it's like, oh, like I don't even know what this word means. And personality is one of those words, like if I just repeat it, like personality, personality, like keep meditating on it, it's like becomes deeper into what it means. If you say it so quickly, Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's like so quick, you know, but it's such a deep statement, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I was just meditating on what that means to be a personality. I was wondering if anybody wanted to offer a definition of the word personality, by chance with the microphone, just kind of make it a little more interactive. Sorry about the noise. I just kind of want to go deep into that meditation of the word personality so we can understand more about the Absolute Truth as a personality. Does anyone have a definition?
Personality implies a particular schematic of likes and dislikes. A very unique set of things that are attractive to that person and things that are not.
Yeah, that's a good definition. Certain likes and dislikes that make a person an individual, like makes this person who they are, kind of how they are, compared to everyone else. I was reading in the dictionary, just on a human level, from the dictionary, like every person is individual, and although we're all human, we all have these different personalities, different qualities about us. So then, if we have these individual personalities, and then we can kind of use that perception of each individual has this kind of, someone's like more funny, someone's more serious, someone's like kind of shy, things like that. So, but what is Krishna's personality? What is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That's like, he's the reservoir of all personality. So this is amazing to realize that the Supreme is a personality. And in this verse it says that unintelligent men accept the supreme as impersonal or void. And oftentimes people just do this out of ignorance because they're just covered over by lust, by the material energy. But otherwise this is just like a horrible thing, you know, that the supreme is just void and impersonal. It's like, it's really a drag, you know, that everything is just nothing and or void. But from the Bhagavatam and from Krishna consciousness, it's super enlivening to realize that everything is actually a personality. Everything is a person. And we can even realize that, like, in the material nature, everything is acting by person, by people. That's what we hear in the Bhagavatam. The demigods are in control of all the different aspects of material nature, and every planet, every star we see in the sky is filled with persons, personalities, and predominating deities. And deity means like the king or the soul who's presiding over those planets. And so everything becomes personal, everything becomes alive. Whereas if we're in this impersonal void conception, everything is dead. Everything doesn't exist. There's no person. This is the material conception, is we just see this dull matter, and this is it. It's void. It's void. It's impersonal. It's not like a conscious person. But we are people, and we are animating that energy, the material energy. Without the persons, the matter is just void. And materialistic people, they think that this matter is all there is. They don't even believe in themselves. We don't even believe in ourselves sometimes because we're conditioned. We don't even believe that we're people sometimes because we're just covered over by the material energy. So we chase things out, material objects outside of ourselves. So this is the problem with the material conception of life, that we're seeing this impersonal energy as mine. We're seeing it. All we see is ourselves in relation with the material objects, and we're trying to make this situation of the material objects so we're in the center, and then everything is just very nice around us. So we're trying to be the lords of the material energy. That's the disease of material nature. That's the lust of material nature. And in doing that, we shut out the supreme personality, the super soul, and we neglect him, and we choose to say, yeah, everything is energy, I agree with that, but that's it. Everything is just energy. It's impersonal or void, so then we can still do our program in the material energy. So this is like quite amazing and profound to realize that what Krishna consciousness is doing is bringing us back to life. Actually, we're in like a sleeping condition in the material energy, and Krishna consciousness is bringing us back to this life where everything is personal, everything is alive. It's described in the spiritual world that everything is conscious. More than just conscious, everything is made out of pure love and pure bliss, and that's the real existence. And the matter is just impersonal, and it's never satisfying for the soul who wants that the pure happiness. That's like Nityananda Prabhu was saying, we're all trying to be happy. But it doesn't come from impersonal objects. We want to be fully alive and fully conscious, and always in relation with the Supreme Conscious Person, and also in relation with all the other people, all the other spirits, souls. So our Krishna Consciousness Movement described as a revolution against materialism. So that's like our battle, is to fight against the materialistic conception of life, that everything is impersonal or void. And that starts within ourselves, of developing the proper conception that everything is personal, everything is conscious. By hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and chanting and worshipping the Supreme Personality, then we develop the proper conception that the Supreme is a person, and that we also are persons. And this is really profound, to come out of this dreamlike state of impersonalism and voidism, materialism. And that's the battle that we have to fight within ourselves, especially within ourselves first. And when we really become Krishna conscious, then we can really help other people as well, a lot of other people. Let's see. Okay. I was going to read something about Krishna's personality. I don't know, would you guys want to hear about Krishna's personality from the Nectar of Devotion? He's the reservoir of all personalities, so if we meditate on him, then we can develop our own personhood also. From the Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami, it's the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. So in this chapter, the 23rd chapter, it's actually called Krishna's Personality, which is pretty cool. And there's four different personalities that are described in this chapter, which seem to kind of oppose each other, which is kind of interesting. So this is what it says in the start. It says that Krishna's personality is analyzed as Dhirodatta, Dhira Lalita, Dhira Prashanta, and Dhira Datta. If one asks how a personality can be beheld in four quite opposing ways, the answer is that the Lord is the reservoir of all transcendental qualities and activities. Therefore, his different aspects can be analyzed according to the exhibition of his limitless variety of pastimes, and as such, there is no contradiction. So, in the material world, when someone has like opposing personalities, there's like a disorder. It's called, I think it's called split personality disorder or something like that, where they're too extreme. Like sometimes they get like super angry, sometimes they get like something like this. They're not able to like balance it. But Krishna is so variegated that although he has all these different opposing, so much variety in his personality, but it all somehow works together to be complete. So I'll read some of this. I don't want to bore you guys, but hopefully I can read it nicely and not get lost in my own thoughts. So the first one is called Dhirodatta. A Dhirodatta is a person who is naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. In this connection, the following statement given by Indra, the King of Heaven, is very significant. My dear Lord, I admit that I have committed great offenses unto you, but I cannot express my great feelings of regret, being bewildered at seeing your extraordinary chivalrous spirit, your endeavor to protect your devotees, your determination, your steadiness in lifting the great hill of Govardhan, your beautiful bodily features, and your astonishing characteristic of being pleased simply by accepting the prayers of your devotees and offenders. The above statement by the King of Heaven is an exact corroboration of Krishna's being Dhirodatta. Many learned scholars have agreed to also accept Lord Ramachandra as Dhirodatta, but all of Lord Ramachandra's qualities are also included in the character of Lord Krishna. So, I'll read the naturally grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. And it's said at the end that Lord Ramachandra, this is his personality. So it seems like it's more like a kingly type personality. The next one is called Dhira Lalita. A person is called Dhira Lalita if he is naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. Such a Dhira Lalita personality is generally found to be domesticated and very submissive to his lover. This Dhira Lalita trait in the personality of Krishna is described by Yajna Patni, the wife of one of the brahmanas who were performing sacrifices in Vrindavan. She tells her friends, "One day Srimati Radharani, accompanied by her associates, was taking rest in her garden, and at that time Lord Sri Krishna arrived in that assembly. After sitting down, he began to narrate very impudently about his previous night's pastimes with Radharani. While he was speaking in that way, Radharani became very embarrassed. She was feeling ashamed and was absorbed in thought, and Krishna took the opportunity to mark her breasts with different kinds of tilak. Krishna proved himself to be very expert in that art. In this way, Krishna, as Dhira Lalita, was enjoying his youthful proclivities in the company of the gopis." I'm not qualified to read these pastimes, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. "Generally, those who are expert in writing drama choose to call Cupid the ideal Dhira Lalita, but we can more perfectly find in the personality of Krishna all the characteristics of Dhira Lalita." So this is a pretty contrasting aspect of Krishna's personality from the last one. He's like grave, humble, forgiving, forbearing, all these highly qualified, chivalrous, and now he's very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking, and free from all anxieties. So there's different times, I guess, in the different pastimes where Krishna exhibits these, and that creates so much variety. Sometimes he's joking so much and having such a good time, and then sometimes he's more grave, more gentle. So that's pretty interesting. There's two more. The next one is called Dhira Prasanta. A person who is very peaceful, forbearing, considerate, and obliging is called Dhira Prasanta. This Dhira Prasanta trait of Krishna was exhibited in his dealings with the Pandavas. On account of the Pandavas' faithful devotion to the Lord, he agreed to become their charioteer, their advisor, their friend, and their messenger, and sometimes their bodyguard. Such is an example of the result of devotional service toward Vishnu. When Krishna was speaking to Maharaj Yudhisthira about religious principles, he demonstrated himself to be a great learned scholar, but because he accepted the position of younger cousin to Yudhisthira, he was speaking in a very gentle tone which enhanced his beautiful bodily features. The movement of his eyes and the mode of his speech proved that he was very, very expert in giving moral instructions. Sometimes Maharaj Yudhisthira is also accepted by learned scholars as Dhira Prasanta. So when Krishna was dealing with the Pandavas, he was giving them advice, and he was driving their chariot in the war, he was very how do you say it? He was very like it's described that Maharaj Yudhisthira is this type of personality, so he's very aware of the etiquette and customs of the culture. So like before, he was, you know, joking about Radharani and she was embarrassed, having a good time. But in this personality, he's not doing those things. He's very seriously following the etiquette of the Vaishnava culture, the Vedic culture, which is Maharaj Yudhisthira is like the emblem of religious principles. And so that's what this personality is. And Krishna is also that. That's another main aspect of his personality. The last one, it's called Dhirodatta. A person who is very envious, proud, easily angered, restless, and complacent is called Dhirodatta by learned scholars. Such qualities were visible in the character of Lord Krishna, because when he was writing a letter to Kalayavana, Krishna addressed him as a sinful frog. In his letter, Krishna advised Kalayavana that he should immediately go and find some dark well for his residence, because there was a black snake named Krishna who was very eager to devour all such sinful frogs. Krishna reminded Kalayavana that he could turn all the universes to ashes simply by looking at them. The above statement by Krishna seems apparently to be of an envious nature, but according to different pastimes, places, and times, this quality is accepted as a great characteristic. Krishna's Dhirodatta qualities have been accepted as great because Krishna uses them only to protect his devotees. In other words, even undesirable traits may also be used in the exchange of devotional service. Sometimes Bhima, the second brother of the Pandavas, is also described as Dhirodatta. Once, while fighting with a demon who was appearing as a deer, Krishna challenged him in this way, I have come before you as a great elephant named Krishna. You must leave the battlefield accepting defeat, or else there is death awaiting you. This challenging spirit of Krishna is not contradictory to his sublime character. Because he is the supreme being, everything is possible in his character. There is a nice statement in the Kurma Purana about these contradictory traits of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is said there that the Supreme Person is neither very fat nor very thin. He is always transcendental to material qualities, and yet his bodily luster is blackish. His eyes are reddish, he is all-powerful, and he is equipped with all different kinds of opulences. Contradictory traits in Krishna's person are not at all surprising. One should not consider the characteristics of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to be actually contradictory. One should try to understand the traits of Krishna from authorities and try to understand how these characteristics are employed by the supreme will of the Lord. In the Mahavaraha Purana, it is confirmed that the transcendental bodies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his expansions are all existing eternally. Such bodies are never material. They are completely spiritual and full of knowledge. They are reservoirs of all transcendental qualities. I think I'll finish reading there. So, the last personality, Dhirodatta, is seemingly envious, proud, and easily angered, which is seems like a direct contradiction of the previous one. And this is, as it's described, one of the main things Krishna does with this personality is it comes out when he's killing the demons and protecting his devotees. So it's nice to hear all this variety of the personality of Godhead. And one thing I was thinking about while reading this too was also in the lives of our acharyas and our predecessor devotees that we see these days walking before us, like the senior Prabhupada disciples and Srila Prabhupada himself. His personality was so variegated. He was so... you can't really tie him down to one type of personality, like Prabhupada was like this, because he exhibited so many different types of moods and activities. Sometimes he was very humble, and sometimes he was accepting worship more freely to show for a certain reason that Guru must be worshipped. I was hearing in a lecture at one time the devotees were asking to take like a professional photo of Prabhupada, and like one of these, and he said, okay, but I'll take two pictures. And they were thinking, just two pictures of the same one. But Prabhupada was saying, no, I want to do two different sets of pictures. He was very like specific with what he wanted to do. And like the first one, he wore like super simple cloth, and he like went to like under a tree in the shade or something like that, and had a very grave face. And and then the next one, he went and changed, and he put on like a super like opulent dhoti and kurta, like silk or something like that, and it was like bright pink. And then he came out and like he did like a swirl, he danced, and then he like also then he went in front of like a nice backdrop, and they took a picture. And I don't think he was grave. I think he was like smiling, and so I don't remember exactly his facial expressions, but it was different than the one before. But he was using this. It's a nice example of how he was exhibiting his personality in different ways, and he wanted to capture those different personalities in this picture, these pictures, so we could see that the variety. It's also a nice meditation for ourselves that we have to develop our personality. We don't have to negate ourselves so much and like become like this one, you know, type of person all the time. But we also have a variety of feelings and emotions, and it's healthy to be like, it's only natural to be a personality. And with a personality, there's variety, as we see in the personality of Godhead and of Prabhupada. So it's nice that we can develop our personality under the guidance, you know, not like, I'm not talking about Raganuga Bhakti right now, but at least developing our sadhana, like personality, we have to also do that, where we become nice sadhakas with personalities. And so then we can be representatives of the Supreme Personality, and people become attracted to our personality, and then they want to join our movement, and they get attracted to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because we're representatives of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we have to develop nice personalities under the guidance of senior devotees, and in the proper way, with care and attentiveness. I think that's all I'd like to say. If there's any questions or comments, I'd really appreciate if someone has something to say, to share.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class. A lot of the things that you were talking about are things that I'm kind of developing or trying to, you know, it's very relevant, prevalent things you were talking about that I'm going through. So I appreciate your grounding thought of, you know, I appreciated hearing very grounded thinking. And very, you know, you made it seem very natural that this is what we should do. But I had one question. It's a kind of like a comment question that maybe you could shed some light on. But when you were speaking about materialism, that materialism, the conception is that nothing is conscious, like void. It's like nothing is it's like we're conscious, but everything else is not conscious. And I was just, you know, dead matter, it's not conscious of this nothing comes from consciousness, and consciousness is something far out. And so I was thinking along the lines of voidism, you were saying it can be a very lonely perspective on life, like very lonely and scared, and that there are conscious beings and nothing else is conscious. But I was thinking, I think it's Radha Swami, he always says, maybe other people say it too, that conscious entities have two needs, to love and to be loved. And oftentimes, it seems like to me, at least I can say personally, that I often put on this, sometimes it's like I don't even acknowledge other people when they come into the room, because I'm trying to be like spiritual, what I think is spiritual, serious, like I'm focused, but I'm not actually focused, but I'm trying to have others think that I'm focused, and so I don't, sometimes like, you know, we're persons, and oftentimes I don't even acknowledge when people come into the room, or they walk by you in the hallway, and you don't even acknowledge that they exist, like you're just like, you don't even look at them, let alone even acknowledge them, whereas we hear, one of the offenses to a Vaishnava is to not be happy when you see a Vaishnava, you're not happy. And that's one that Srila Rupanath Swami was saying when he was talking about offenses to Vaishnavas. So I'm wondering if you could comment on how is it that we can start to develop as we're developing our personalities, it seems like maybe not everyone will be an outgoing, extroverted, you know, happy-go-lucky, saying, you know, hello to everyone. And that's like one extreme. And then the other extreme would be like totally not acknowledging other people. But at the same time, we're hearing these principles that we should be developing relationships with Vaishnavas, happy when we see other Vaishnavas. Yeah, at the same time, it seems like it may be hard to balance. I'm wondering, how is it that we can develop more of a conscious personal relationships with each other while trying to express our own personalities?
That's an awesome question. Because that's how, if we don't know how to relate with each other as devotees, then how can we approach the Supreme Person? So oftentimes I meditate on that our relationships with each other is like practice with our relationship with Krishna. So if we don't know how to have an intimate relationship with the people that are around us, then it's unlikely that we'll know how to have an intimate relationship with the Supreme Person. One thing that I heard a devotee from ISKCON Chaupati, one of the brahmacharis there, told me, it was really nice. He came up to me and asked me what I was thinking about, and I said I was thinking about something I said to a devotee the previous day. And he said this is good. He said two things we have to be most attentive is our chanting and our relationships with devotees. So I guess you can compare it to like a sadhana, like you're chanting. You know, it's not easy to be attentive when you're chanting. It's also not easy to be attentive in relationships because we're covered over by material energy. But we can practice and we can try as a sadhana, and it's also, yeah, it's a really important aspect of our practice, is practicing dealing with devotees. And yeah, like I often get the kind of I get a little bit, what is it, kind of I feel bad about myself sometimes because I'm not like a super loud person. So like I think, oh, I wish I could just like, you know, be like a really outgoing personality. But that's not exact, it's like kind of a misconception of like what it means to have relationships with people. There's so many varieties and everyone has some certain good qualities about them, and some people are less quiet. And so when you see a Vaishnava, you might not, you know, offer dandavats, like, you know, say like Panchakopa Trubisha, like super loud, right when you see them. Like, I've seen devotees like that. That's nice and it's pleasing to devotees, but I'm not like that. I'm not like a super loud person. So like, I just like do something small and something according to my nature that I'm at. That also, we follow those instructions of like the minimum etiquette, at least the minimum etiquette. So we make sure, you know, we're conscious of how we're dealing with the devotees according to, you know, we don't have to be something we're not, though. And we should develop our personality as practicing devotees according to our nature. If we're more naturally quiet, then we can just smile at the devotees or quietly give them pranams, respect. That's some thoughts on that. Anything else?
Thank you for class, Prabhu.
Thank you for being here.
I was talking to a devotee recently, and his daughter had passed away. And he's a Prabhupada disciple, but he was still...
You speak a little more into it. I can't hear.
I was talking with a devotee recently who stays at Nutalavan. His name is Bhushaya. He's a Prabhupada disciple. And his daughter had passed away recently. And yet he was still able to maintain his enthusiasm and go out and preach. But I was talking to him later about it and how he was able to deal with such tragedy. And he said, you know, Prabhu, we can't hide behind the philosophy. You can't just say, you know, dehi no asmin yata dehi, you know, like we all have these feelings and emotions that we have to deal with on a daily each day, you know, we're not totally transcendental, but how to, in a healthy way, be able to process all of our emotions. Because it is like a full rainbow, all these different feelings we get throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But to not be like robots about it either, you know, to be very empathetic and nurturing and also enthusiastic, but not... try to always remain genuine, you know. Yeah, that's interesting. The personality of Krishna, the personality of Godhead, what his characteristics are. So I'm really grateful that you're able to share some of those with us. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing. It's a nice point. It can be kind of dangerous to kind of suppress our emotions. I guess we don't want to be taken away by them, but we also can't hold, kind of suppressing them is also another way of like kind of holding on to them in another way. I guess it's kind of like the verse in the Bhagavad Gita with desires, you kind of have to let it just like tolerate it and let it go through you and knowing that it'll pass. And not like necessarily hiding from it, but also not like getting taken away by it at the same time. So yeah, I appreciate that point. Anything else? Keep going.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class. And I have a quick question. Would you like to tell us how many pure devotees you know who understood the Supreme Personality of Godhead?
What? I didn't hear what you said exactly.
For instance, we talk about the last verse that Maharaj Katvanga, he liberated and he achieved perfection, right? How many of pure devotees like him you know?
In our movement? I don't know. What I do know is that we can't tell based on externals where these senior devotees are actually at. And most likely we're seeing people who are internally somewhere where we can't imagine, but they don't show it to neophyte devotees so much. That's just one thought I had, because I don't know at all, but from my understanding is that these senior devotees that we have experience with meeting them, they're much deeper than they appear. We tend to put them on our level and see them from our perspective as being normal human, but they've been practicing and they've gotten so much mercy from Prabhupada, and they're very humble and they're very advanced. So there's a lot, I'm sure. There's a lot of devotees who are achieving perfection from Prabhupada's mercy.
Thank you. That makes sense.
I think, from my limited understanding. Anything else? Oh, okay, thank you for your participation. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari. Shri Guru Gaura.